We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll be looking at verse 25 through 40. Last week we looked at verse 23 of chapter 7 in some detail. In verse 7, we're reminded we are bought at a price. Therefore, do not become slaves of men. If you've been a Christian for a while, that can lose its savor. It can lose its seasoning a little bit when we realize that we were once opposed to God. In every way, every shape, every form, there was nothing good about us, and God reached in, called us to himself, and redeemed us. There were some men and some women who attended for the purpose of hooking up, looking for a Christian partner. And I had some men ask me, how should I behave towards this female that I'm attracted to? Well, I had an answer for him, and we'll get to that later, but let's read what Paul has to say about that, and that's in verses 25 through 40 of chapter 7. He says it probably a lot better than I could. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they have none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use the world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of this world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for you, your own profit, that I may put a leash, that I may not put a leash on you, but that what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distractions. But if a man thinks he is behaving improperly towards his virgin, if she is past the flower of her youth, and thus it may be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then, he who gives in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But if she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment, and I think I also have the Spirit of God. Quite a statement by Paul. He's there at Corinth. He's counseling the Corinthian church, and he refers to unmarried women as virgins. He's taking the high road there. He's assuming that they're chaste, that they have been obedient to the Lord with their virginity. Paul admits his statements or judgments are his own opinions. But he says, I firmly believe I have the mind of Christ. Paul states, it is good for a man to remain as he is. If he's married, stay married. If he's unmarried, stay unmarried. The conditions of a family, wife and kids, change the duties that a man has in life. A married man must be concerned about his family, feeding his family, clothing his family, providing shelter, and all of these work into the equation of responsibility that a man has to his wife and family. Persecution of the early church was a constant concern for husbands. Being a single man, you were more likely to suffer abuse as a Christian if you weren't concerned how it would affect your wife and children. In times of distress, a family needs the help and support of a father and husband. In Rome, with all of its Caesars, many of them like Nero, there was a constant harassment and trouble for Christians or believers. So for a man to consider marriage, it was quite the decision. It was a daunting endeavor that he was looking to take upon. So we have today prime example in the Ukraine. If you're under 50 years of age, you're not allowed to stay and take care of your family. They're kind of on their own. You have to go and fight for the Ukraine. You're not allowed, to provide a way of escape to like Poland or somewhere else with your family. You had to depend on others to take care of your family. And so the relief efforts of concerned Christians to evacuate millions of citizens of the Ukraine, it's overwhelming. Over 17 million people have left the Ukraine for surrounding countries around them, like Poland. So Paul, he wants us to relate to the time of the Roman Empire. What's going on in Rome? And he attempts to counsel about marriage and the responsibility of being married. But back to my question, how should a single man treat and behave towards a single female that he is attracted to? I had a constant answer for our single men in our group. Treat that female, treat that single lady like she's your sister in the Lord. Treat her like a sister in the Lord. Respect and honor your fellow believer. But many times in our world today, a couple become attracted to one another, and they can be a little bit naive in their thinking. They think that two Christians should be able to just kind of live and do as they please with no restrictions upon them. But they don't realize that when you're attracted to someone, the lust factor plays in. And loneliness will cause a person to do things that they normally wouldn't necessarily do. And Paul has found it necessary to counsel these believers there at Corinth in how to behave themselves. And Paul had a constant reminder for himself, and that is stated in a verse there, time is short. Live a life that honors the Lord in all ways. In today's world, we can see evil people, evil nations ramp up their evil agendas. And we can find ourselves like Paul, thinking and pondering, how long will sinful people and sinful leaders, how long will they prevail? And Paul, he comes to a conclusion in verse 31, and that's a well thought out conclusion of life there in Corinth and in the Roman world. For the time and the ways of former Judaism, they're passing away right before Paul's eyes. In our world today, perhaps it's time for us to look at the chaos around us and fully realize we too are in a world of change. Our world is changing drastically all around us. Many people live in fear, or they have perhaps the ostrich syndrome, and that's to bury their head in the sands of oblivion. Just check out. Don't pay any attention to what's going on around you. I am no longer a news addict. I've been set free. And rarely do I tune in to the evening news. I just don't watch it anymore. It's too troubling. For all the news media seems to be listening to the same drumbeat that goes on throughout our country. Give you an example. The hype that surrounds the COVID-19 pandemic. It has left me a serious skeptic of the news media. I no longer take their word as truth, so I don't watch the news. Paul the Apostle lives in a very troubling time, and he's in a very sinful city there at Corinth. And Paul looks around at his world, and he comes to a conclusion. Perhaps it is better not to marry. That was a big conclusion for Paul to come to. Perhaps it's better to be single. If you're unmarried, you can give your full heart and service to the Lord. Now, consider Paul lived in a day and in a time there in Israel, in Judah, where it was expected of you as a Jewish man to take a wife. You were expected to be a family man. And for a woman, you found your worth, your value in having children. That's how you establish that you were a good Jewish mother and so forth, that if you had children. So what was it like when Paul's trying to counsel the Corinthians? Well, let's read about John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1. Zacharias, he's a priest. He's called on to burn incense in the temple when the angel Gabriel appears to him. And it would be probably better if I read the account to you than give you my synopsis of it. So Luke 1, verse 5 through 25. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the time of the burning of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to their Lord, their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children and to the disobedient to wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute, not able to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the day when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." These events, these family events of Zechariah and Elizabeth are in Paul's day. Paul has gone away from promoting family to saying it might be better if you stayed single in our times of persecution. I only point that out to say how rapid things can change in Paul's day and in our day. We are in the midst of rampant change in America. Look at our country. We have many military personnel who have served our nation with honorable service. Now they have great concerns of where America is going. Our political leaders are taking us down a road which I call simply destruction. I cannot find any decision that our political powers propose to us. I can't see any good in it, and that's my unfortunate, humble opinion of the state of affairs. And Paul finds himself caught in the midst of social change in Judah. Not only has Paul turned away from the Mosaic law, 180-degree turn away from persecuting Christians, to being a promoter of Christian, but his Jewish heritage of marriage and family life finds the Apostle Paul saying, "Perhaps it's better if you do not marry." What a change. What a change in Paul's heart. Zechariah and Elizabeth have the angel Gabriel appear to them and proclaim to them. Gabriel's first word is, "Your prayer is answered. Zacharias, the Lord has heard your prayers." And he's been praying for what? he's been praying for a son. For it tells us he's been praying for Elizabeth, old like himself, that she would conceive and have a son. And then we hear Elizabeth in her reaction. She rejoices and she praises God, for the Lord has looked upon her and taken away her reproach among men. The promises of God to Zechariah and Elizabeth are profound. And Zechariah and Elizabeth were both righteous before God. As we read in verse 6, they're righteous, walking and living before God in all his commandments and ordinances. And then it says, they were blameless. Wow, what a testimony from God via Gabriel to his servants. They're blameless. Now, I believe we Christians have one of the greatest opportunities to proclaim the hope of God for our changing world all around us. We're to be salt, we're to be light. Hopefully, my prayer is that we will be found faithful and blameless. We have the hope of our Lord's return. And you and I may be the only voice of hope that many will hear. You and I. It's up to believers to proclaim the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father, first of all, I would pray that you would just kind of make it a heart issue with us to realize the day that we live in. We live in troubling times, Lord. We live where men call evil good and good evil. We live amongst a people who are buying into the selling of propaganda from our news media, from our government leaders. We live amongst and in an ungodly nation, Lord. I wish I could say that we live in Christian America, but America is not so Christian in my humble opinion, Lord. We're strange, we're different from others, but Lord, may we find ourselves being a faithful witness of your goodness, of your truth, and that only you have the words of life. You are the only hope for us as a people in America, Lord. May that come upon us in a truth. And Lord, give us the courage, give us the right words to say to those who look to us for a hope. Look to us to proclaim the goodness of God before a world that is just caught up in pleasure and sin, Lord. There's a lot of people that are living in fear, Lord. I pray you would direct us to those that are fearful. And give us your words, Lord, when we proclaim your goodness and the hope we have in you. Let it come forth in a way that people hear us and their hearts turn to you, the living God. Let us be a good witness unto you in all that we say and do, Lord. For the time is short. Paul said it. We certainly can say it today. Time is short. So let us be about you and your kingdom in all we say and do. And I pray for this and ask it in the name of Jesus.